Yes, sir, what is your name, sir?
My name's Emilio Duran Ibiza. AOT number 2136.
Okay, and I'm Mr. Leo.
What's your name, miss? The Durina?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Just for the record, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. Emilio Duran Ibiza. AOT number 2136.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Let me introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Luis Quinones. To my immediate right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. And to my immediate left is the Honorable David Neal. And my name is Michael Johnson, sir. I will be acting as your panel chair this afternoon. Also with us, sir, is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Correction, as well as your parole officer, sir. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On that form, sir, notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself today.
Okay, thank you, sir. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Osborne in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Sir, I do.
Okay. Sir, today your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have two allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you, sir. When I read those allegations, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, the first allegation on your warrant states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in physical assaultive behavior on or about September 30th, 2017 at 3175 Corona Place, Nogales, Arizona. Sir, is that true or false?
It is false, sir.
Okay, so then, and also I see that you have a DR number attached to this, so I'm gonna list that one as false, but if you also wanna take the fifth, then you're certainly able to do that. You have a right to say it's true, false, or you can take the fifth, because these proceedings that we are going to now are tape recorded, and an attorney may want to have these recorded and subpoenaed for court, okay? So you say that allegation number one is false, sir. And allegation number two states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2 as demonstrated by your failure to report in person for a face-to-face contact visit on or about October 5th, 2017 as directed in writing on October 4th, 2017. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. Sir, you can either say whether it's true, false, or you can take the fifth.
To see my parole officer, if it's okay for me to speak with the board.
All right, well, sir, you're going to have an opportunity when we're going phase two. It says that, is that true or false that you were actually avoiding supervision, sir?
No, I was not avoiding, sir. I was not avoiding supervision. I did miss a date, 5-1 date, to see my parole officer. But no, I was not avoiding
them. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and mark that one as false, and then I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, and get some additional information on allegations one and two, sir.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On September 2nd of 17, this assigned parole officer received notification from Nogales police officer Oscar Danez. An offender was involved in an assault on September 30th of 17. On September 30th and 17th, at approximately 16:58 hours, Nogales police officer Yanez responded to the Cardinal Holy Cross Hospital in reference to an assault and met with the assault victim. During the investigative interview, the victim reported she was physically assaulted by Emilio Urena Villa, the offender, at 3175 Corona Place, Nogales, Arizona, 85621. The victim stated the defendant entered their bedroom and punched her in the face with a closed fist. Officer Yanez reported Urena Viv was one of several who assaulted the victim. Officer Yanez attempted to interview offender, however, the offender avoided police and remains non-cooperative with the assault investigation. Allegation number two.
Hold on, let me just ask. So, Mr. Urena, so are you saying that that information that the parole officer just read is not true?
Yes, sir, that is true. That is, that's all about, allegation that they're saying that I did assault cause.
Okay.
There was an assault that occurred and it had nothing to do with me.
All right, sir, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to discuss that when we get in phase two. Let me get the allegation in phase, allegation number two done here.
Yes, sir, allegation number two. On October 4th of 17, this assigned parole officer went to offender's group residence at 9 Primrosa Nogales, Arizona, 85621, and hand-delivered a reporting instructions letter directing the offender to report to his assigned parole officer for a face-to-face visit on October 5th of 17 by 11 a.m. The letter was left with the offender's mother. The offender was also contacted by phone and apparently directed to report to his assigned parole officer on October 5th of 17. On October 5th of 17, offender failed to report to his assigned parole officer as directed. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. Follow-up. On October 4th of 17, this assigned parole officer met with the offender's mother and sister at 9 Cayo Primrosa, Nogales, Arizona, and left a reporting instructions letter with the sponsor. During the field visit, Ms. Simone Urena stated, offender has not been in her residence for a week. This assigned parole officer asked the sponsor for any information that might be used in helping to locate the offender. The offender's mother could not provide any useful information to help locate the offender.
Okay, so what's not true about that? Were you at your mom's house and left there?
No, I was always just saying, I was working in Tucson and I would come every day back and forth when I got to Tucson.
Okay.
And there would be times I would stay here in Tucson just for it to be convenient more because I didn't have a vehicle to come and make it back and forth. So sometimes I would stay here, but most of the time I would get a ride with a family member from Paris to Tucson.
Okay. All right, Mr. Urena. So based on the Department of Correction information along with the warrant information inclusive of the information received from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, I'm going to move that allegation one and two. I move to find that Mr. Urena was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses about the lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Urena, we're going to go into phase two of your hands, sir. During phase two, the board would make a determination whether to revoke or to reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two, sir. We'll get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne. Then we're going to come back to you, Mr. Urena, get any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Urena, Urena Pia, was released from DOC custody on December 30th of 2016. He was arrested on October 16th of 2017 by the Department of Public Safety on his Uganda warrant status and was returned back to our custody on October 20th of 2017 with 11 Ugandes with a community supervision end date of November 10th of 2018. Current conviction, 2014, promoting prison contraband, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2007, burglary, first degree, 10 years, 6 months. 2007, aggravated assault, 10 years. 2007, aggravated assault, 10 years. 2007, discharged firearm at a structure, 10 years, 6 months. 2010, burglary, first degree, 10 years. 2010, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months. 2010, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months. And 2010, discharging firearm at structure, 10 years. He's had two terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is SCGM gang information noted that Mr. Yurnes Villa is a suspected border brother, and on December 10th and 14th, his name and ACN moniker, ADC number and moniker, appeared on the border brother's membership list found on the property belonging to another inmate. Has a moderate disciplinary history with violence and drugs noted. Other arrests, 1997, sexual abuse, AZ adjudicated delinquent. 1997, threat and intimidate, AZ juvenile probation. 1997, domestic violence, AZ juvenile probation. 2003, narcotic drug violation, AZ felony conviction probation. And 2010, theft of vehicle, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. Is a community risk score of G6B7, and I do have status of charges attached from a parole officer, John March, dated Friday, November 24th of 2017. State's defender's aggravated assault is still pending investigation with Nogales Police Department. Defender was not arrested by Nogales PD on this charge since he failed to cooperate with law enforcement and conduct from supervision. That was all, sir.
All right, Mr. Yurnes Villa, I see that you were released from prison, and at the time that you were released, you were to reside as your mother at 9 Cali Promosa in Nogales. Sir, were you still standing there at the time you were apprehended, sir?
Yes, sir.
Says that you were employed at Complete Flooring in Tucson. Were you still working there, or do you have another job?
I work in Tucson, and I work in Nogales out of my own house. I was working on building with my own company, but I was doing at the time, I was, it was hard for me to get a job. I had gotten multiple jobs prior to my release. I got hired by a few companies that installed flooring, and due to my felonies, they didn't go, you know what I mean? Felonies, I ended up finding a job in construction, and from there I went to, as between jobs, finding work and everything, I just fell into landscaping and handiwork around home. And by word of mouth, it just started to grow. But yes, I was employed here in Tucson as well.
Okay, sir, I see that you had a referred to task. You submitted negative delays on January 7th of 17, March 8th of 17, and August 30th. July 26th of 17 and August 30th of 17, you submitted all negative UAs, and that you're referred to Pinell Hispanic Council for anger management and substance abuse. Did you complete those programs?
No, I was in the process of going into during March and my dad's visit, they told me I had to start putting effort to taking care of these classes, so I looked into Miguel's where I can take those classes, and I was in the process of doing that since I was only 2 months away from completing my parole. So I was running a little late, but it was in the process, yes, sir. But no, I didn't complete.
Okay, sir, it says that you were observed on a videotape by ATF purchasing an estimated 75,000 rounds of ammunition used for an assault rifle. What was that about?
Like I stated earlier, I have a vehicle so I can handle people to take daily rides back and forth. About being observed to me buying anything, I know that is a false information. I don't know if you guys have the chance to see the video or to see anything. Quite honest, I would get a ride with a mutual friend from work from time to time, and they would go into the store and I'll see them buy boxes. But I never assumed they were doing anything wrong, to be quite honest with you. They were illegal and they were buying ammunition. And to be quite honest, I see them walk into a legit store, buy ammunition. We never brought them back to us to Nogales. So I don't know if they were being watched because I was accompanying them from time to time. They assumed that I had something to do with it. To be honest with you, if I'm guilty of anything right here, I'm guilty of my own ignorance of putting myself in a situation to incriminate myself in that way. But to be, I just don't understand where all this is coming from, but no, I was never involved in anything criminally as far as that goes, but yes, I did go in from time to time, not all the time, I didn't always get right with them. From one or two times, yes, I did go in with them, and to the store, but I never purchased anything. I was just there, to be honest with you.
All right, sir, I'm gonna see if the board has any additional questions. All right, sir, the board has no additional questions, sir, at this time. Mr. Urena Vella, the board's going to go into discussing, but prior to going into discussing, sir, I want to see if there's anything else you'd like to tell this board, any information that you haven't presented that you'd like to present to board without repeating yourself.
Is that for me or for the board?
That's for you, sir, that's for you, before we go into discussion.
I would like to get the opportunity to explain the events of why I'm in this situation today. Some of these allegations are false and misleading. As far as the assault, that I was involved in an assault, that is all complete false information. What happened was is that I was seeing this girl when I got hurt. Okay, I was seeing this girl, it was nothing serious or nothing. And as my time being out there and finding it difficult to just cope with life and everything, and I got involved with the woman. And as I was out there making a lot of progress for myself and for everything and trying to build my own company, and I met this other girl, and I had told the other girl that I assaulted. I had told her that I didn't want to see her. Well, she didn't take it so well. We were at a mutual friend's house, and she walked in and she slapped me a few times, and my two nieces in her prison. And they got into an altercation with an argument, but the argument came to insult. I was just there. I was in Tucson, I was here in Tucson when I received a phone call from one of the detectives, and I did cooperate with a phone call. I did tell him exactly what happened in this case. And as far as he went investigating, it turned out that everybody was saying the same thing. My nieces got arrested. Spent a night in San Luis County Jail. And they basically went and told them what really happened. And she walked into the house, she slapped me around, and they got into it. They got in a fight, and I had nothing to do with it as far as the assault. You know? She didn't go to the hospital until the next day and start saying that all this was happening. She refused to leave the house that they were at the friend's house. I never get handled.
Okay.
And when I was speaking with the officer, I recorded the conversation, and she called me, saying that the officer wanted to speak. So I recorded her conversation. I don't know if I had spoken with my family, asking them if they can mail this information in recordings to my parole officer or to the court. I don't know if they had a chance to see my mail and everything.
Okay.
I know that my family has been in contact with my parole officer, and they've also explained to him and tried to show him the recording for TSA. Tell him it was just a joke, tell him they were just playing, there's an arrest. And I said, of course, you're over here reading the lies. You're over here reading the lies that I assaulted you. And the recording, she says, well, you didn't stop until it's like you hit me. Therefore, I can't be involved in anything. I can't be involved with my felonies. I can't be involved with anything that has to do with an assault, because I can go back to prison for a very long time.
Right. Sir, Mr.
Investigation, as the investigation goes, I don't know, I haven't been able to speak with the officers again, but everybody that was in the house testified, Officer Landon testified exactly what I just explained to you.
Okay, so Mr. Urena, what about the second allegation where, let me finish, sir. ATF says that they had you on video tape so what about that, sir? You said that wasn't you?
I'm not saying that I didn't walk into the store with the gentleman. What I do know for a fact, without a doubt in my mind, is that I never purchased anything.
Okay.
I never bought anything and I never transferred anything to anyone.
Okay.
So I am guilty of being walking in so strong to get, you know, and like I said again, my ignorance and my part is that I assumed everything was over. I didn't. I just worked in, I see my friends and then I got to do a couple of errands. Do you mind? No, fine. You know, we walk into a store, he buys a couple of boxes. I mean, 75,000 pounds, I can believe. I didn't see hundreds of boxes. I seen him buy maybe the two times that I was with them, four or five boxes at that time.
Okay. All right, sir. Mr. Unit.
I never purchased anything. I never transported anything. I never took anything to anyone.
Alright.
As far as them having me video, then if you have seen the video or my poor officer or anybody has seen the video, you would see exactly as I'm saying, walking into a store with somebody and me never purchasing me.
Alright, sir. The board's gonna go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. I just have actually in chrono notes dated back to June 8th of 17. There was a picture sent to the poor officer of the offender standing next to a gunman. The PO tried 3 or 4 attempts to get the offender to come to the office. He finally came in, and he admitted that was him in the picture standing next to the gunman, but stated he'll know how he received the picture. This was back in June, so why he wasn't taken into custody then, I have no idea, but I just wanted to note that, sir.
All right. Okay, sir. The board's going to go and discuss, and while the board's in discussion, I want to ask you to remain on the line, Mr. Urain Miller, and we will get back to you as soon as the board finishes their discussion. We're also going to ask you to remain quiet while the board's in discussion, so the board's in discussion at this time. I am going to, I feel that talking to Mr. Urain Miller, according to the information that we have in here, that ATF agent Brad Adler states that in the surveillance, while under surveillance by the ATF, he was observed and videotaped purchasing an estimated 75,000 rounds of ammunition used for an assault rifle. I'm going to, and he says that he was involved in this assault with his girlfriend. However, he denies being in the assault with his girlfriend, said that there's a video and a tape and some information. However, there's no information attached to contradict the story or to elaborate on the story of which he is telling us that has happened. Therefore, unless there's some other comments by my colleagues, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Urain Miller. Find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he had lapses, about to lapse to criminal ways or company, and that he was an absconder, that he did abscond for 11 days. He was observed by ATF by purchasing approximately 75,000 rounds of ammunition, as well as the alleged allegation of the being involved or engaged in a physical assaultive behavior with his girlfriend. That is going to be my motion at this time to revoke his community supervision on those bases.
Stand.
Agreed.
Agree.
Okay, sir, the board is voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. You will be released on October 10th of 2018. Sir, I want to thank you for participating in your hearing today. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. Thank you.
Excuse me, may I ask you guys something? I was supposed to, as far as I knew, my parole was finished this year on December. I was only paroled 1 year. I did 10 years prior to my release. I did 10 years in prison. But, and then I came out on parole, did 10 months on parole, without any violation, without anything being there, with no problem, you know? And now I'm being told that I don't get released till next year in December.
Yes.
Or November 2018. I don't understand how the time goes. If I got released within 10 years in prison, and now I got 10 years of back, 10 months of back time on my parole, and now I have to do a whole nother year in prison if I was supposed to finish my parole in this month, in December of this month.
Okay, sir.
I don't understand where I'm getting a whole other year.
Okay, sir, we can't answer that question for you, sir. You have to work with the Department of Corrections and your CO3 there, sir, and time comp. We only go by what they send us in the time that they have, sir.
I've already addressed the situation. situation.
Okay, well, you're going to have to continue to address that. You're going to have to continue that situation, to address that situation with them, sir. There's no way.
But they advised me that you guys were the only one.
Well, I'm telling you, and I'm advising you, sir, that. Well, the Department of Correction and Time Comp are the ones who determine when you're eligible for parole. Once they determine you're eligible, then they send it to us, sir. So we have no say-so or involvement with the determination of when your eligibility comes up. That would have to be taken up with your CO3 and the time comp with the Department of Correction, sir. That's we can't do anything about that, but I do want to thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Please put your CO3 on the phone. Thank you.